Hey, listen up.
Yeah, we here and we locked in. Let's keep it going all the way to the top 10. We fear the turtle, so it's no other option. Fred and Ryan, just watch them. Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
Let's take it to the max.
It's the Shell and Tell.
They come with all the facts.
It's the Shell and Tell.
What's up, everybody? Fred, Ryan, back for side B of this cassette tape as we kick off with our football special. You old enough to remember cassette tapes, right?
Yeah, I remember cassette tapes, Fred. You're not that old.
we got a lot to cover with the football squad. Is obviously we got some new faces, some fresh faces coming in. We got some faces leaving, and we got an announcement with the coaching staff as well.
Yeah, talking about cassettes, we got to have a cassette age video board that's going to be replaced right now. So yeah,
that's more like an 8-track video.
It might be an 8-track. We're going to get rid of those black holes in the screen that we had last year.
Pretty sure my TV that's over here to my right is bigger than the video board at College Park.
It's definitely a clearer picture. It might be bigger.
Yeah, so we got a lot to catch you up on. It's been a while since we talked football, so I'm kind of excited for this. I guess there were some areas of concern, obviously, in 2019 that, we want to make sure that we're replenishing so that we're competitive here in 2020. One of those things, we'll start with the offensive side. Offensive line, I'm going to skip ahead. I'm going to go to offensive line. This was an area that you and I harped on a whole lot going into the offseason, that if the Terps were going to be competitive in the Big Ten, they had to address the area of concern in the trenches, both on offense and defense, but specifically the offensive line. I don't care what quarterback you have out there. I don't care what players you have at the skill position. If you don't have big body guys that can stand up in the Big Ten, it does you no good.
Yeah, you definitely need some size. I don't know if we got the talent. We'll have to see. The field tells us that, but we got some size coming in this year, and that's a big help because that's what we need. We can't have these fast players we had in the ACC. We need some beefcakes, and we're bringing them now.
Yeah, man. We got a couple of offensive tackles that really excite me, one of which a local guy, kid out of St. Francis. He was a top 50 in-state recruit. 6'6", 320, local three-star. Lot to like about this kid.
Yeah, absolutely. The St. Francis, which is always good to get somebody out of St. Francis. It's a local hotbed in recruiting, and we don't seem to get them very often, so it's always good to grab one and hold on to them. And the big guys is where it's at, and we have plenty. I see that Loxley, if you look at the scholarship distribution over the last 2 years that he's put out, he's focusing on offensive tackles, which is the big move. When you're trying to get big guys, pretty much all of them played offensive tackle in high school. Even the guards in college, all of them played tackle in high school because you're the biggest guy on your team. That's what it is.
Right.
So we have two guards in this class and four offensive tackles. And last year it was about the same. I think it was five offensive tackles and one guard in his recruiting class last year.
Right.
So he's definitely focusing on the size, which is needed. I know we've brought up in the past, we brought in Marcus Finger last year, was a big body guy for us. And he'll have a lot more competition now, and that's competition breeds success.
I completely agree. Now, Ja'Kai Green, like we said, local kid. One of the things I think that kind of caught me by surprise last year with Locks was his ties to Florida, and he continued that with bringing in offensive tackle Zach Perkins, 6'4", 321-pound. I love that size. Another three-starter out of Florida.
Yep, and that's not the only Florida guy we got. Offensive guard Christopher Love, 6'3", 315 out of Florida.
Beefcake!
They're all. This is what you need. Not only, they all got to be 300 pounds. If you're not 300 pounds, you're not playing in the Big Ten. But look at the frame on some of these guys. Like 6'6", 320, that could easily end up being a 340, 35 guy with the college nutrition, college weight training program. You're talking a frame to build upon.
Right. And then I guess the big name that might be able to come in and make a difference right away is one of the last chance you guys, top 10 JUCO guard, Jahari Branch, 6'3", 325 pounds. This kid's already proven it at the collegiate level that he can move bodies and that he can keep people from getting to the quarterback, which is obviously going to be crucial to this team's success. This is a kid that I'm really excited for.
Yeah, I really hope, you know, the last chance you guys, it's a blessing and a curse. These guys are the best of best. It's why they ended up where they were, but they also ended up there by making some mistakes, whether it be academically, whether it be legally, this, that, and the other. So they're that wild card. Like, I'm super excited to have four of them on the roster and see how it goes. In fact, we're looking probably at trying to have five or six by the end of the time we're done. But you got to make sure that the locker room in place and the leadership in place can handle that input.
Right. I completely agree. And then rounding out the tackles that we brought in this year, Delmar Glaze, another 6'5", 315-pound three-star out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Again, when you look at these tackles, 6'6", 320, 6'4", 321, 6'5", 315, this is exactly what we were clamoring for when we went to Minnesota and we really got to see the size difference and what their offensive line looked like compared to our offensive line. I mean, we looked like we were rolling out there with a JV squad. So this is the type of size that we want to see. But the thing that you got to remember with offensive linemen, in my opinion, I think – this is one of the hardest positions to transition to from high school to college. I think a lot of the skill guys can play right away. Running backs, wide receivers, all that kind of stuff translates from high school to college. But the difference in competition in the trenches from you being the one standout kid that's, you know, 6'5", 320 pounds, dominating defensive ends Children. That are like 180 pounds and 210, to going up against guys that are your size or bigger now, it's a big transition for kids. So a lot of times you don't see immediate success from offensive linemen as freshmen.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's why these transfers is hoping to bridge that gap and get a bigger impact immediately. You know, quarterback and lineman, like you said, are definitely the two that take the longest to transition into the realm of collegiate sports.
Well, staying on the offensive side, let's talk a little bit about a couple of those skill positions. And one that we got a ton of help from, including our biggest recruit grab yet, maybe like a 1A, 1B up there with Ruben. I know, at least in your opinion, it's going to be five-star wide receiver, former LSU commit, Rakeem Jarrett, 6 foot, 208 pounds, the number 20 player overall in the country, number 2 wide receiver in the country. This was a big get for Locks and Crew.
Oh, this is a big get. I'm so excited to have him here. He is a great player. That's the body type I like to see dominating at wide receiver. You know, I like the Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, like big body mauler. And that's something he can definitely be and build into with that frame. Like you said, I am partial to Ruben, but only because I feel like Ruben held this class together
and
gave us that shot to get Rakeem Jarrett, gave us that shot to bring in big names by committing early and being the face of this Terp takeover. You know, the only knock that I can give on Rakeem is I wish that he would have committed even a month or two before that. Nothing changed with the team in that period of time. Something might change in his life,
right?
But all the games had been played. We had already been terrible last year.
Right.
So at some point you could have committed and tried to bring some more dogs. Cause you know, these guys at that level that are the greatest of the greats know all the other great players, and his name can and will make a big difference coming into this, next signing period, which he has been a lot more active since signing.
And that's what was going to be my next point too, is the long-term effect of what bringing him in. Obviously we all know what the talent is that he has on the field, but to your point, what he's able to do, the social media presence that he has there, kind of a la Nick Cross from last year, same type of mentality on social media. Obviously he's one of the top recruits in the nation and he decided to stay home. So I think that's going to speak volumes for the future of this program and potentially maybe get some late flips, hopefully, you know, late on in this commitment season.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been pivotal in, or not pivotal, but has been very openly talking about the quarterbacks coming in for our class, whether it be Mr. King, who had actually canceled his visit this weekend, but apparently for personal reasons, and we'll be scheduling that later, or Caleb Williams of the 2021 class. He has been very much trying to get big people to come join his big name.
Now, sticking with wide receivers, another kid that I think will quickly become a fan favorite, at least he's gotten my attention so far, has got to be wide receiver Nick DeGennaro, 6 foot, 183, three-star out of New Jersey, a real gritty kid, a kid that's got good work ethic. I think he'll fit the mold in that slot role really, really well in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Locksley talked, said he was really excited to get this kid, and I can see why. He seems to have a chip on his shoulder, thinks he was underrated and overlooked. And you know, I don't really think he's wrong. He really seems to be able to get at it at that level. And I think he will be able to, transition pretty easily.
Apologize for the name there, Nick. I'm not 100% sure on how it goes, but hey, I'd give it a shot.
Hey, we'll hopefully be hearing it a lot over the new loudspeakers.
That's right. And another kid, guy that committed early and has stuck through his commitment the entire time. It's got to be Dejon McDougal, 5'10", 175, out of Florida, top 100 receiver. I'm telling you, man, this wide receiver class as a whole looks really, really good coming in.
Yeah, and you're joining them with your big-time Jashawn Jones and last year Dante Demas, and
right,
you know, we got some wideouts, man.
Yeah, gotta have somebody to get him the ball,
and we gotta have somebody to stand in front of the big fat guys trying to kill the man throwing the ball.
that's right. And then we do have a transfer coming in, and this kid, not real sure on where he's gonna fit in the offense. He's one of those wide receiver / athletes. I mean, this kid, he's got the athletic talent. And that's Dejon Ellis, 5'11", 178-pound transfer from Virginia Tech last summer. Unfortunately, he, because of everything that happened, didn't get in here in time.
Yeah, he was real late on the transfer. Right. Now, we really hope he turns the tides, because our Virginia Tech transfers did not end up well last year.
I think where you're going to see this kid's biggest impact is going to be in the return game.
Special teams.
I think this kid's got the speed. He's got the elusiveness. He may fit into a role and similar to Nick in the inside and the slot role as a wide receiver, but I think his biggest impact is going to be on the special teams.
Yeah, the big thing I heard out of him was he was in the DMV class, number 13 player, and the big reason was he was the fastest man that class. That's what all the locals have said.
Now there's another guy, I know, the guy that you were pretty excited about, a recent commitment that we got at wide receiver as well.
Well, the commitment was actually earlier than all these guys. Corey Dyches was our very first inside of the state of Maryland commitment.
Just hadn't signed yet.
Yeah, he has not signed. Now, Corey Dyches, three-star out of Oxon Hill, top 100 receiver again. Be great to get him added. He's the one that I was actually most scared of losing, because it just, since Rakeem Jarrett fell out of the sky from nowhere, I thought maybe that would be a problem by signing day. Doesn't seem to be that way. I think he's still going to be in this class. It actually looks like as we move into the running back class, that commitment might have fallen apart on us.
Yeah. Let's hop right into running backs. Is like I said, wide receivers, there's a lot to be excited about there. In the running back group, look, there's no getting around it. It's a thin group right now. You got a couple of guys that are coming back from severe knee injuries, with Jake Funk and Lolo coming back from bad knee injuries.
Jake Funk's used to it. It's just bionic knees at this point.
Apparently. And then you've got, obviously, Teyon Fleet Davis, who had the off-the-field issue with the DUI. So we'll see how his status with the team kind of is moving forward. You know how Locks is. I mean, we saw what he did with DJ Turner last year with his incident, so we'll see how it affects Teyon. But so you're going to probably see a lot of these names get some serious playing time early on as freshmen. And I guess we'll start with the biggest one of all and all the recruits that we had as far as running backs go, and it's got to be Penny Boone. 6'2", 225, top 400 USA, top 30 running back, top 10 player in Michigan. This kid's got the size to be able to run in between the tackles, but he's also got the ability to bounce it outside with some of the speed.
Yeah, big-time commitment. He had been committed for a little bit. Big to reach into Michigan's backyard and grab somebody like this. I know it hurts them. They don't like seeing us actually getting some grasp in that area.
Right.
So, yeah, we're really excited to see what he has. Like I said, we have early playing time to offer there. See a big thing. Somebody that wasn't committed, that was a real
falling
out of the sky as of Rakeem Jarrett, Mr. Isaiah Jacobs, 5'10", 195, top 500 in the USA, running back number 35, number six player in Oklahoma. He was the brother of Josh Jacobs, the 1,000-yard rusher for the Oakland Raiders this year. And his playing weight and size is very similar at 5'10", 220. So hopefully we can recreate that monster here, get him up in the weight room a little bit, get him that 220 mark, and have ourselves an NFL running back.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs, also shout out to you for the year in fantasy. I appreciate that. Isaiah Jacobs, yeah, man, he came out of nowhere, a kid that had, you know, some big-time colleges coming after him. So for us to be able to pull this card was great. And I think, honestly, I think it came down to playing time for this kid, just for all the reasons that we just mentioned as far as how thin we are at running back and some of the question marks that we have going in with injuries and off the field stuff. This kid probably saw a chance to shine early on. He saw that size and all those offensive linemen that are coming in this year. Potentially that could have been what, you know, kind of overstepped everybody else and got the commitment here at Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, as bad as we were last year, we still will most likely have two running backs drafted this year.
Right.
And we had one run drafted last year.
We will have two running backs drafted this year.
I'm very hopeful that nobody made a mistake. But
third and fourth round.
Third and fourth round. Very confident there.
I'm very confident.
Okay.
But then the one kid that, I guess, made a big social media stink about his commitment to Maryland and was strong in his commitment to Maryland.
Even on early signing day,
recently changed a little bit. I'm not trying to, like, you know, be too negative here, but Ebony Jackson, another kid, 6'1", 205, three-star out of Georgia, the number 33 running back in the country. This would be another big get for you know, Locks and staff. I don't know if the Isaiah Jacobs signing maybe deterred him because maybe he doesn't see the opportunity as much with Jacobs and with Penny Boone there. Now you're talking about three freshman running backs, all highly recruited coming in. Somebody's going to be on the short end of the stick there, and maybe Ebony thinks that it's him.
Yeah, I mean, that would be if he ends up committing here, which I still hope he does. It was a big time that he was one of the earlier commitments. That would be three of the top 35 running backs in the country.
Wow.
Number 27, 33, and 35. That would be absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Now, even after Isaiah Jacobs committed, he had said that wish I was there with my boys, couldn't sign, something about, you know, he had been out with injury and some of his grades were behind or something, some whatever was going on academically.
It
mostly
seemed like it was an academic was thing. Yeah, right.
So two questions then. Did Locks back off a little bit? Did Locks see something academically that made him see that
could very
he's
possibly
not going
be.
To make it at the University of Maryland?
That's a good point.
He's got to go play at a, you know, they're not giving people passes at the University of Maryland. It's a top university in the country outside of athletics.
That's a great point.
So it could be that. It could be the fact that, you know, just the balance of scholarships. Do you want that many running backs? He seems to want as many wide receivers as possible. So you'd think he'd be okay with getting that many running backs.
Well, look, we turn running backs like a factory here. I feel like that's something that we've done well over the past probably decade or more. So I'm not real worried about running back as some people are. I do think that Jake Funk and Lolo will come back and have impacts this year, but I do expect to see a good bit of playing time from these freshman running backs as well.
So the social media impact that we were talking about, Fred had let me know, and I'd take a look, that he had deleted a lot of his Maryland stuff, and he also had made some remarks that made you believe that maybe Arkansas is back in the running with their new head coach, their LSU wannabe head coach.
All speculation. We have absolutely no inside information or anything like
that.
This
is all just from reading Twitter. You guys want to read Twitter, you know the same thing we do.
A lot of you that listen probably have the same assumptions that we do. So, but look, I mean, look, they're replacing two dynamic running backs in Anthony McFarland and Javon Leak. So this class has got their work cut out for them. But I do think that they're coming in at the right time. Again, with the size that we have on the offensive line, I think the tide will turn and we'll get good production out of these guys. So let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball and stay in the trenches as we talk about the defensive line. Who are some guys that are coming in this year that you're excited about, Ryan?
You got Riad Wilmont, 6'3", 248 out of Florida. Again, we're staying hot in the state of Florida. We got all kinds of recruits coming out of there. You know, we just need size again. And then this guy's got a little size and a little speed. So I think he could really come off the edge for us and help out. And DNs is invaluable. That's like, it's your quarterback position on the defensive side.
That was what jumped out at me on his tape, is that his explosion off the edge is really good. And that's something that this team sorely missed last year, was the ability to get to the pass, you know, to the pass. Yep. To get to the quarterback. And I think this kid could definitely help and make an impact right away.
We couldn't stop anybody from getting to our quarterback, and we couldn't get to theirs. That's how you lose that many football games.
That's absolutely true. And then I think we got a couple of guys with some big size at defensive tackle coming in that you were pretty excited about too.
Yeah, you got some boys from Last Chance U coming in.
Right.
Both top 20 JUCO D tackles, Ami Finu and Mosiah Nazal-Kite. 6'2", 320, and 6'2", 298. Again, they've kind of proved it a little more than your, you know, high school seniors. They've been seen in big-time programs. They've been seen at the JUCO level, which all you guys from watching Last Chance, you know, JUCO in Kansas is no joke. It's
right.
It's not like playing at the community college down here in Baltimore. Like, these guys, there's real money and real backing and real fan support. And it's real football out there.
I strategically gave you those introductions
to
the names.
Yeah, of course
you did. One guy that I'm excited about doesn't have a difficult name. Defensive tackle Trey Smith, 6'2", 285 out of Frostburg. Interesting enough, that's where Ty Johnson went to high school.
Yeah, apparently he was a big part of his recruitment, reached out to him.
That's great. You know, that's good, man.
It's always good when you got graduates coming out and helping us out with like that.
Absolutely. Three-star, top 50 prospect in state. There's a whole lot of reason to like this kid. Again, this was one of the areas of concern was overall size, and I think this team did a good job. This coaching staff did a good job of addressing that on both sides of the ball.
Absolutely. It's a big improvement. We got to keep growing this every year, and you're going to find a big change.
Are you foaming at the mouth because we're getting ready to talk about some linebackers?
Mr. Terp Takeover. Ruben Hippolyte, my boy, 6 foot, 225. Underrated four-star. I'm 90% sure this is all of memory. I think he was a five-star until he committed to Maryland, and they magically made him a four-star, which seems to happen a lot. I mean, you're a four-star, you commit to Alabama, you're a five-star.
The star rankings.
If you're a five-star, you commit to Maryland, you're a four-star.
I could give two shits about the star rankings just as much as I care less about college basketball, you know, AP poll rankings.
Yeah, top 300 in the USA, again, underrated. Top 20 outside linebacker, underrated. Top 50 in Florida. Offers from Alabama, Auburn, Baylor, FSU, Miami, Penn State. That tells you who he is.
Yeah.
Forget about those numbers above it.
And
look
just,
at those.
And if you've followed him on social media, or if you haven't, man, you really should. This kid.
Absolutely. Great follow.
You want to talk about the just supporting the program from afar, watching him day to day put the work in. I saw
his workout videos are epic.
Oh, they are.
In fact, I did a parody workout video you all should check out. It was pretty
hilarious. Pretty hilarious. But yeah, I mean, this kid is the definition of everything that you want in a program. He can step in even as a freshman and I think have a huge impact in the locker room. He's, you know, obviously one of the higher rated recruits in the country, but he just has that leadership trait about him that I've been able to see that he leads by example. And I think if people see and buy into what he's doing, that'll have a trickle down effect on some of the other players. And I think it's just nothing but positive for this team.
Yeah. And he seems to be a super genuine guy. This is the one player on this list we've had some actual interactions with, you know, outside of the, just following Twitter accounts. And every time he talks with us, seems super genuine, super willing to communicate, really excited about the program. I believe everything this guy says, like, and he said that his goal was to be the best linebacker in Maryland history, and I think he's got a shot. We got some greats.
Yeah, and he brought another kid along with him, another linebacker down there in Florida, Frankie Burgess, 6'3", 215, three-star, top 100 outside linebacker in the country. This is another kid with the speed, the ability to get to the quarterback, desperately needed. Obviously, with Keandre Jones moving on and graduating, there's going to be a big hole at that outside linebacker position, and he may be able to make an impact.
Yeah, I think that really in the defensive linebackers, defensive backs, that's kind of where we see the biggest change in year one. I think these guys are going to be able to help out. We have a bunch of holes, and it's not something that's going to really take overly development. These guys come in with their skill, use their skill, and improve our team.
Now, I think speaking of Last Chance you guys, because it seems like we picked one from pretty much every position group, we get another inside linebacker from Last Chance U.
Yeah, last chance U. You got TJ Kutai, 6'1", 240, top 10 JUCO linebacker. So they rank the junior college kids outside of our high school seniors, obviously.
Right,
so,
right.
But top 10 in the JUCO world, that's still great. Again, a lot of talent out there in Kansas.
Yeah, and this is the kind of, you know, inside linebacker that you need, somebody who does have the ability to get sideline to sideline, can read the quarterback's eyes very well. I think he'll be an immediate impact right away. Now, you mentioned DBs, and I thought personally, outside of the trenches, right, we all know what the shortcomings were on the offensive and defensive lines. I thought defensive backs was one of our most depleted positions last year. A lot of that had to do with injuries. Some of it had to do with just players not living up to expectations. You know, the one bright spot, obviously, being Nick Cross. He continued to get better and got more and more playing time as the season went on. But outside of that, man, this was a position group that needed some serious help, and it looks like we got some on the way.
Yeah, I think that the reason that defensive back stood out most in our brain is that we kind of knew the trenches had some problems. We kind of knew we were thin in offensive line and the injuries did not help. We kind of knew that our defensive line had underachieved. I think beginning of the year we talked about there was a lot of people, but there was just no guarantees, and ended up being that pretty much none of them worked.
Yeah, and when you lack a pass rush like this team lacked, you can't cover all day long.
You can't, but still, we really thought we had some defensive backs on that field, and pretty much nobody showed up. Antoine Brooks, as talented as he is, was unable to show that because he was forced into coverage without our cornerbacks showing up. And he's not a corner. He's not that lockdown guy. He's a great safety. He's a hard-hitting guy. And I think that he will do much better in the NFL in his first year than he did in his last year in college, because he's going to be able to play to what he does.
Right. Now, that's very true. That's a great point. Well, look, we got a laundry list of defensive backs, some corners, some safeties coming in. Hopefully they'll help right away, have an immediate impact. Who are some of these kids that you think will have the biggest impact coming in as freshmen?
So again, here you can kind of see where Locksley's going a little bit. I think that he is building these long, big defensive backs.
Tall.
So they're all pretty much tall. Yeah. You got a couple 5'11 guys in here, but first off, Ja'Corian Bennett, 6'1, 185. It speaks for itself. I mean, these guys are all 6 foot, 6'1, 6'3 guys going across the back. Devin King's been a commitment for a long time. Big force on Twitter. He was early in the Terp takeover. Love that, see that out of him. And his dad also has been a really outgoing voice on Twitter to try to help us out.
And I think a name that I was kind of excited for had to been 5'11", 185-pound, three-star cornerback Shane Mosley. And the reason I'm excited for him is that we kept him from Penn State. This was a kid that was one of the top-rated corners in the state. I want to say he was top 20 in the state, obviously right in Penn State's backyard. And we're able to sneak away with this kid. I think he has a big impact.
I hope so. Mr. Tarheeb Steele, 6 foot 165 out of New Jersey.
Needs to eat a burger.
Top 60 at his position. We can handle getting you bigger. We can't make you taller.
That's true.
So, you know, we got him with some height there, and we'll get him in the weight room, and we'll get him eating.
And another kid that they addressed, or they got from Florida, continuing that connection down there in Florida, safety Glenn Miller, 6'3". 190 pounds.
That's a big boy.
That's a huge, huge safety. A very tall safety. Reminds me of a similar build, a little bit smaller, needs to put a little bit of muscle on, but similar build to Jimmy Smith as far as like an NFL comparison. Jimmy Smith, very tall. I think Jimmy eventually moves to safety later on in his career. I think Glenn Miller can be that type of player as well, with size-wise.
Yeah, another safety, Bo Braid out of 6 foot 190, top 60 at his position, number 30 in the state of Maryland. So that's good to get a top 30 guy in Maryland to stay home, too.
Yep, and then we got another guy who hasn't quite signed yet, but another big body safety, Osita Smith, 6'2", 205, three-star out of Connecticut, number 54 safety in the country. That could be another big signing as well if we can get him under the wraps.
Yeah, so I mean, basically the thing is here is big, and that's what we need.
Size.
We had this ACC speed kills type roster, and it just hasn't worked. Our speed hasn't been killing. Our speed's been getting killed.
Yeah.
And we need to get into the division that we're in, and we are building big-bodied program, whether it be in the trenches or whether it be these cornerbacks and safeties. This safety group, that's if they end up working out and playing, like, that's a big squad. I don't know.
It's huge.
I don't know if anybody in the country's got DBs that big.
Well, like I said, I mean, this was definitely one of my biggest areas of concern in going into the offseason and in recruiting, trying to replenish this. You lose Antoine Brooks. You lose Tino Ellis. Guys are going to have to step in and play early on. They're going to be used in quite a bit of minutes. So
still got Chance Campbell. You still got
Chance Campbell, linebacker. Cross. But yeah,
you still got. I'm just saying, our defense is not completely depleted. We were able to find some bright spots in a 3-win year. Like they, you know, there the cupboard's not completely dry. It's going to take time, but Loxley's doing everything he can. Man, I love everything Loxley's doing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The one area of concern that I have is the biggest impact position on a football team, and that's quarterback. You know, we all know for some reason that Lox is enamored with Josh Jackson. Neither you or I are, and I don't think any Terp fan out there would be enamored with Josh Jackson. So I'm hoping we do not see him under center at all next year. I'm hoping that we do give Lance LeJean the shot that he rightfully deserves, or you risk losing him as well. Or if you're not going to give Lance LeJean the reins this year, I do want to see more out of Tyler Dessou. I'm kind of tired of the Piggy era personally. I mean, nothing personal against him, but we've seen the ceiling, right? He's gotten the time, he's gotten, you know, the opportunity, and it failed. I'm ready to move on. And I think Lance LeJean obviously was a big recruit, a big get for Loxley last year. We saw him in limited minutes this year, got, you know, mostly the plays were called were running plays for him. So we haven't really seen the arm talent yet. We did get to see that in, some of the specials on TV with the, Last Chance U or was whatever it was.
QB1.
Yeah. QB1. So he does have the arm talent there. I want to see that get utilized this year.
We're building a whole Netflix squad over here.
Right. But all of that could change. As we start looking at some of these recruits that are coming in this weekend, some of which are on campus right now, two of them being quarterbacks, very highly touted quarterbacks, one of which was a grad transfer quarterback, De'Aaron King, out of the University of Houston, was scheduled to be here today, but rumors having some family issues, wasn't able to come today. Sounds like he's going to reschedule for time to come back. But, man, going up, having a kid like that come in, I don't know how it would sit with Lance, but at the end of the day,
it's a one-year gap, though. Like, Lance would be a lot less offended than us, you know, committing to Caleb Williams that could steal his whole tenure here.
Yeah, and that's the other kid in town. So quarterback Caleb Williams, this kid's getting recruited by everybody and anybody. I mean, he obviously has offers right now from LSU and Georgia, the number one dual threat quarterback in the nation. Man, that would be a home run, grand slam type of recruit landing. And at that point, if Lance LeJean wanted to leave, I think I'd be okay with it, getting somebody like Caleb Williams.
I wouldn't blame him if Caleb Williams showed up. If you get Derek King out of Houston, who was recruited by the old Houston regime and then last year showed how great he was for four games and sat out to reserve his last year and make a real run this year, you should be okay with sitting, learning from him, and taking over as a third-year player, showing out like our terrible Redskins quarterback that will name unnamed did hold a clipboard for 2 years, show out and go to the NFL. That could be your path there. Right. So I don't think the 1 year stopgap should offend you. I think it should be great. A lot of people are comparing Derek King to what happened with Jalen Hurts last year. How do you feel about that?
No, I think it's a very similar situation. Obviously, Jalen had the connection with Mike Loxley that King doesn't have. Which is part of the reason I think that Jalen Hurts was here today at the basketball game with Lox.
Was to vouch for Lox and say what he could bring to his, you know, him coming to Maryland.
Exactly.
Which would have been great. I fully agree with you on that. I think that people thinking that he's coming through just to, like, show up and then he was going to go off to Oklahoma anyway or whatever they're planning on him going were kind of out of their mind because there was no reason for him to do locks a solid. There was a reason for Jalen Hurts to be like, hey, boss, I know you're not going to come here. I know it's too much to ask, but can you come, like, show the people that big recruits have my name, have my back, come make an appearance, and you do the guy a solid. King has no reason to do that. So I think he was actually coming here. I think he actually wanted to look at our facilities and was considering it. What scares the absolute hell out of me is he was coming from his visit at Miami to us, and then he didn't show up.
Something happened. Right. Yeah, so we'll see.
I hopefully it is something family related. Hopefully he at least gives us a visit. That'd be great.
Right.
You know, it's still a long shot whether we get the commitment, but if we did, I'm jumping for joy. But yeah, it does scare me that he was coming from Miami and then disappeared.
Agreed. Now, another guy that's coming to town that could make an immediate impact on that offensive line that we talked about has to be Emilio Moran. 6'5", 305-pound guy, another JUCO, top two JUCO. This is a kid you were real excited about.
Yeah, so we're in his top two, basically. So he had a bunch of lists and offers from everybody. Texas Tech, South Florida were canceled, and he only left visits to East Carolina and to us. He is from the Virginia Beach area, said it was very important for him to be near home. So we basically made his top two, and he's from Lackawanna College in Pennsylvania, another big-time, you know, nationally ranked JUCO school that doesn't play around with their football.
The beauty part about this kid, though, is he's going to graduate in May and still have 3 years to play. So if he does come in here, I mean, it's not for a one-and-done situation. This is a kid that could have an impact for the next couple of years.
Yeah, most of JUCO kids have 2 years. He's going to have three. So that's big for us. Like, even if he didn't end up playing first year, it's still another big experienced body. You know, 6'5", again, that frame, you know, even at 305, 6'5", 6'6", guys, you can really build on and get to be some serious force.
And his tape shows, I mean, he's got good production, especially in pass blocking, and has kind of shown his versatility because he's playing both at guard and tackle. So that's something that I think bodes well for this team because you're going to need guys that are versatile and that can move around depending upon, you know, how some of these other kids come in and play right away.
Absolutely. D-tackle, Montre Edwards, 6'3", 293, current Missouri commit. He's going to be visiting January 31st. That gives us the last shot before signing day. That's the dark period before the February 5th signing day. So we will be his last person talking in his ear, which is always helpful.
Well, another kid coming into town that's going to be here on the 31st has got me excited because he's a tight end. Obviously, that's a position I played in high school. Alan Horace. 6'4", 250. Only other Power 5 official was last April with Arkansas before they replaced their coaching staff this season. So I don't know how many other schools we're going up against, but this would be a kid that could come in and I think fill that role that this team desperately needed last year. We saw early on the production when we went to the spring game. We saw the usage in the Locksley offense using tight ends, but then we didn't see how that transitioned to the season. I don't know if it was a lack of skill or what, but this is a kid that's got the size and the talent to do it.
So personally, I believe the tight ends evaporated when our offensive line needed help on every block.
That's a good
point.
They
had to chip every block. They had to stay in for max protection. So we kind of lost that ability. But I do believe that at the heart of it, Locksley wants to use the tight ends more. We saw it in the spring game. We saw it early in the year before we started getting nicked up on the offensive line. And I think it's coming back. And that's a big boy, 6'4", 250. You can definitely see that turn into a big-time defensive end.
Now, another kid that I'd really like to see come back, and things have started to look positive for the Terps on social media ever since the Rakim Jarrett signing. It's got to be cornerback Rashad Battle, 6'2", 187. He's the guy that decommitted, top 40 cornerback out of Georgia. He has got offers from everybody, Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, South Carolina, Ole Miss, a laundry list of them. But this was a kid that started to start talking Terps and started retweeting things of Jarrett's when he signed. So maybe we see him come back?
Yeah, I think that as were the internets have told, many of our Georgia decommits were not related to their own personal thoughts. Maryland had pulled an offer from Jordan Mitchell, who is now signed at Georgia Southern. He's not even a Power 5 school signing. So obviously something changed in his senior tape that made us pull. And at that point, we pretty much lost all communication with all Georgia high schools. And that's when he left. And that's what makes me feel like this is a possibility that he comes back to the Terps. Because I think that this was more of a social pressures type decommitment than he lost favor with the Terps. So I'm still very hopeful. I've been tweeting at Mr. Battle for a couple times trying to get him to come join Terp Takeover again. And it'd be a big help. 6'2", 187, he fits right in with what Loxley's looking for. He's the only unsigned decommitment we have. Everybody else that decommitted has already signed elsewhere. Top 40 cornerback out of Georgia. Other offers, Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota. They got, everybody wants this kid, but I think he was originally a member of Terp Takeover pretty early, and I think he comes back in the fold, comes home, and puts on for Maryland.
I'd feel a lot more, stable about this defensive backfield if we got Rashad Battle cards.
And like you said, one thing that makes defensive backs look better is defensive ends. DeAndre Butler, 6'5", 280. Will be our fifth last chance U player, highly sought after, seventh ranked JUCO overall, first at the position. Other suitors, heavy hitters, Auburn, Oklahoma, Oregon, that's all you need to know. But we are in the mix. His official visit was 12-13, and we just really hope that his four teammates that have signed help sway his opinion. Hopefully he liked his boys. Hopefully he liked what they did last year. If you want to see him, you either stay in Kansas or you come to Maryland. That's the only way you're going to play with that many last chance you guys.
I'm for the movement, man. Last chance Terps. I'm good with it. Let's do it. But, you know, fortunately, as we talk about all these names coming in, a lot of guys that are still pending, you know, hopefully they'll sign. We really didn't have a mass exodus. We really didn't have a lot of people leave. Nobody of big stature, but there were a couple of guys that
We had a lot of people leave. We just didn't have a lot of active players.
Right, exactly. Nobody of significance. But there were a couple of names that are familiar names to some of you Terp fans out there that I do want to mention. Obviously, one very familiar name to Baltimore and to Maryland as a whole. It's going to be wide receiver, cornerback, kick returner, whatever you want to label him as.
Didn't find his spot.
Yeah. Rashad Lewis, obviously the son of Ray Lewis. I think just part of it, you know, being kind of lost on the depth chart at pretty much every position.
Look at all those DBs we added. Look at all those wide receivers we added. Yeah, where was he going to end up on this depth chart?
Exactly. And then when DJ Turner had his situation, he had an opportunity to shine and make an impact in the return game because he got his chances back there, but just didn't do anything. So obviously
fair catches.
So he's going to be moving on. And then another guy that didn't see the field very often, mostly due to injuries, a guy that I had a lot of hope for when he was coming in as a recruit, but just never panned out. And that was guard Terrence Davis. He's heading out, sounds like to Georgia. Wake Forest.
Yeah. I would say Georgia Tech. Same, you know, ACC foes,
black and gold,
black and gold, ACC foes. Yeah. Terrence Davis was a 4-star. Just like you said, not that he failed on the field. He just was never on the field. Like he was nicked up every year, year after year. Originally it was said that he was leaving to, you know, go get a chance to win. And I mean, I guess technically Wake Forest wins more than we did, but that's not really what everyone thought. Everybody thought he was going to go try to get on a contender, and they thought that maybe he had the pedigree to do so. But you know, I wish him the best of luck. He only had one more year to play. This is a long-term build. I'd rather have these guys with 2 and 3 years to play taking his spot.
Agreed. So let's just take a quick synopsis and a quick look. I want your opinion on the potential of this class coming in this year.
I mean, I think it's great. Like we talked about, the defensive backs are so big and long. It could absolutely change things. We'd already talked about the running backs being if the commitment sticks, which, again, I don't think it's going to. But either way, we either have 2 or 3 of the top 35 running backs in the country. That's nuts.
Yeah.
If our commitments stick with the wide receivers, we have 3 of the top 100 wide receivers in the country. You're looking at 4 to 5 last chance U kids that are highly sought after. You know, this could be a big difference maker.
And I agree with you. I mean, those are all keys to what this team's going to do in 2020. Obviously, everything that you mentioned there is a lot of the skill position players. But I think for me, the biggest difference maker is going to be the trenches, the offensive line and the defensive line. The amount of size, pure size, that we're bringing in this year has me excited. You know, last year we did have weapons. We had weapons all over the field. We had a ton of them in the backfield. We had guys on the outside that could make plays, but it didn't matter because we just didn't have anybody that could keep that could keep the defenders away from the quarterback. And if you can't keep your quarterback on 2 feet, it does you no good.
The players are the big part of this. The players are who we go out there, who we're cheering for. But we got to make sure these players are doing the right things, and we got to make sure these players are in the right positions, and we've got some big changes there too.
We do, and it starts on the coaching staff as we bring in a new special teams coordinator and linebackers coach all rolled into one, as former Colorado State and Georgia assistant George Helu was brought in this past week. He comes from the Saban and Kirby Smart coaching tree, so he's got a good pedigree there. And a lot of people are singing this guy's praise as he's a fast riser through the coaching ranks.
Yeah, former DB at Ole Miss. A lot of people are saying this was a big steal. Got in early, got his time with Loxley has really helped us get him on this recruiting staff. Apparently he's going to have his own programs here very shortly, as much as for the talk is for him.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to get what we can out of him.
And this just adds another big tool in the recruiting process. This is another guy that
huge.
Everybody is singing his praise as far as his recruiting ability. And again, when you have the type of pedigree from the Saban and the Kirby Smart family.
Yeah, and he was a DB at Ole Miss, so if he has all these big body DBs to coach up, hopefully we can get the most out of him.
Right, and now speaking of coaches, I wanted to get your opinion on this. Former coach, former interim head coach, Matt Canada, landed a new job, but it wasn't in the collegiate ranks. He ended up getting a job with the Steelers as a quarterback coach.
I love anything Matt Canada does to improve himself. I think Canada's a great guy. I think that if it was not Mike Loxley, if Loxley had turned down this job, I would have been fully on board Canada keeping that job. He did a great, great job keeping those people together and keeping them playing for the right reasons and getting us through one of the what should have been the roughest season in Maryland history, even though it ended up being the next year. So I don't love that it's with the Steelers. I'm a little confused that it's a quarterbacks coach, because that was probably the least successful part of the team that he coached here at Maryland. But I know he has a much deeper coaching tree than just that 1 year at Maryland, so they're seeing some things from his past.
Yeah, I definitely think, look, he got the short end of the stick. I'm a big Loxley fan, but at the end of the day, I still thought that what he was able to do to kind of rally the troops around such a traumatic year and such a bad year for the program speaks volumes to him and speaks volumes to his character. So I wish nothing but the best for Matt Canada. Sucks he's going to the Steelers. But
absolutely sucks going to the Steelers.
I wish
Fred,
him nothing but the best.
Me and you would not be sitting here without Matt Canada. That's what it comes down to. The very first time me and Fred hung out was that Ohio State overtime 1-point loss. That was one of the most epic games I've ever been to. The best loss I've ever been to. The only the only time I can say will stick in my brain forever that I didn't rush that field.
Yeah.
I have nothing negative to say about Mr. Matt Canada. But again, I have nothing negative to say about Loxley. The social media aspects of Loxley, the vision that he's giving the fans, letting us see the background information, this locked in thing they just did, very cool.
I was just going to bring that up. That's great that you did bring that up, because I thought this was awesome. First of all, kudos to University of Maryland's social media team, who thought they had that in them, because everything I've ever seen from their social media programs has been terrible. So
we're turning it around one thing at a time.
Another reason that we're here doing this, because the social media aspect and just the coverage of the team has been terrible. So I think this
put us out of business.
I think you make a good point. This kind of goes to what we had said last year about the transparency of what Loxley has been doing literally since day one, right? And that's what this, if you haven't seen it yet, the Locked In episode 1 was just released a couple of days ago. You can find it on YouTube or the Terps website. It's a really cool inside look as to the thought process as to what Loxley's planning to do for year two. And kind of how he wants his players to be involved in that process. Complete, open, honest communication with his players. You know, he talks family a lot. But in this episode, you really get a chance to see how he sits down one-on-one with a lot of his players and says, hey, look, no qualms, no hard feelings, no nothing. You tell me as a coach, what can I do for you to make your experience better and to get more out of you on my end? What can I do to help?
And it comes off super genuine. And everything, it's just the visibility of everything. We saw the added nutrition things at the very beginning of the season. They were showing that line of all the extra nutrition they're putting on the sidelines, extra fluids, all these things. Hall meetings they just put on. I don't know if you know about this, but I don't know if we even told you. So donors and season ticket holders and everybody were emailed and told about these two call-in times where they were going to have basically town hall meetings where Loxley was going to put out the future of what he looked at for the football program and have a Q&A session with just Joe Fan. Like, that's, you could just sign up, call in, and just, you know, put it out there right in the public and have get your voice heard and get your answers known.
Gives you a platform.
This is not the Maryland Terps I know. Everything was, you couldn't even get into a practice before Loxley got here. Now every practice is being filmed, every practice in the open. You can get on campus for a lot of these, you know. If it helps. It helps, you know, take it out of the closet, and you know, we can all assume the worst happened with all the Jordan McNair issues, because we didn't see anything, and then when it came out, it was all terrible.
Right.
It's like right now, like you got to show the good, because there's going to be bad eventually. Every program has bad things, maybe not as bad as what that we dealt with there, but every program does. And the more you show, the more you get involvement of especially the younger generations, the more this is going to build. The whole reason I'm here is because I started with the Terps at 11 years old. That's why we're here.
Right.
Like, that's who you get in with, and that's how you build this program.
And I think one of the biggest things in this video that jumped out to me that kind of gave me a little bit more peace of mind, knowing that this organization, this university, this program is going in the right direction. I don't know if you saw this or not, but they showed a clip of Keandre Jones in
the locker room. Yeah.
The locker room after a loss, after the last game of the year. He had just unbuckled his chin strap for the last time as a collegiate athlete.
Yep, huge.
And before they're getting ready to break down the huddle, he steps up and has a moment of speech with the locker room, with the players. And it was all about buying in, and it was all about trust, and it was all about understanding the bigger picture of what's going on here at the university. Like, of course, everybody wants that instant gratification. 3-9, it sucked. Going to the games and seeing the blowouts that happened this year, it sucked. But trusting in your coaches, trusting in the decision making that they're making, and buying into that and putting in the effort is how you're going to get there. And I commend him for doing that, because nobody preempted him to do that. He was here literally for the 1 year.
Yep. He put on for his city for 1 year, and for it seemed 1 year. To buy in. He
right. Really did. And Locks and the coaching staff had that big of impact on him that I thought it was really cool of him to do that. And like I said, it kind of gave me a little bit more peace of mind knowing that, hey, I said originally when Locks came in here that it was a 3-year window before you're really going to see results, in my opinion. And I think I got a little spoiled early on with some of the blowout wins that we had, just like everybody else
did.
God,
it felt so good.
It did. It felt really, really good, that it hurt like hell when it went south. And it did. It sucked. To finish that year as badly as we did, it sucked. But at the end of the day, bigger picture, know that the right people are in place. Are there still some changes that need to be made? Are there still some tweaks and things that need to be made? Absolutely. But I 100% buy into what this coaching staff is doing and the direction of this program.
And outside of the coaching staff even, you know, I have not been a Damon Evans fan. I'm still amazed he survived the Jordan McNair debacle. And I think that a lot of it should have hung on his head more than DJ Durkin's head.
Right.
But with that being said, he's here. And he's still doing things. And some things I'm finally agreeing with. Now, do I think he's a likable individual? Not at all. I think that every time I see him talk, it seems like a lie and smug.
Cringeworthy.
It is. It's crazy. I've met other athletic directors, actually. We went to the Texas game and during the rain delay, met the athletic director at Texas.
Right.
And he seemed like a likable guy. Like, that's what that role is.
Right.
I don't know how Damon Evans is so not likable. But what I can say is, in the business aspect of sports right now, I agree with everything he's doing. The money he's putting into sports that are not football, and the athletic facilities, whether it be Ludwig Field or the new baseball and softball thing, the new scoreboard we've been waiting for so long, it's going to be 6 times the size of when it's there. All new audio system. The running joke that is the Maryland scoreboard will be over. The iPad on the stick, as some people has referred to it.
I mean, how awesome was the new shell? Like, running out of the shell.
That was awesome. It was great. The Cole Fieldhouse is just, it's a whole new thing seeing that on that hill above there. When you get these new scoreboards, when you got these new coaches coming in place, it's all coming together.
Yep.
There is a future, and Maryland's a sleeping giant, man. I mean, people can laugh that Maryland football will always be a basketball school. Maryland football is nothing. Please take a look at that Penn State stands. Please. I know it was only 5 minutes. It was only the first 5 minutes that we enjoyed that Penn State.
Yeah.
But if you go,
alcohol allowed me to enjoy it a little longer.
And I know if you went into those parking lots and you went into those stands, it was a complete sellout. They had to bring in extra bleachers for the students. And let me tell you, people will be like, "Oh yeah, it was 70% Penn State fans." No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It was 70% everybody else that year. But Penn State, Maryland fans showed up.
Yeah.
They showed up. We were at least 60 to 70% of that stadium. No, more than that. 70 to 80% of that stadium. And it was epic. But we gave it all up. Gave it all up. So if you start winning and you have these new facilities, the people will come. We will be the Minnesota that can still bring them in no matter what there is to do in D.C.
That's right. I completely agree. All right, man. Well, just want to say thank you to everybody who's been listening to these last two episodes. I know it had been a little bit of a break since we had done one, so we want to make sure we covered everything that we had missed, which was a lot. Appreciate everybody out there that does everything to help us spread the word and share the episodes. So thank you for that. If you're not following us already, be sure to follow us on social media. You can follow the podcast at Shell and Tell Pod. You can follow Ryan at Terps B Espert. You can follow me at Fred BLBS. Be sure to subscribe and make sure you hit the like button on all of our tweets. And find the podcast on all your main platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I think it's even on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and more. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Ryan, sign us out.
All right, well, now more than ever, we need some luck on our side. With signing day coming around, we got a few more spots to fill. Here's till next time, wishing all is well under the shell.